live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and I hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. A lot of stories throughout the day, people who are braving the cold. In particular, we want to thank all of our first responders who are making sure that we are all safe today. And hopefully we'll check in with firefighter Todd Chuchuk at 11:30. The only reason we might not is because he might be out helping people. And if we are, it means that he gets to stay in the firehouse a little bit longer. Don't forget, if you do have to drift off to sleep or perhaps get out of your car, all of these shows are podcast. There's a whole log of all the shows here at WGN Radio available at WGNRadio.com. You can also subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Just look for WGN Radio, Patty Vasquez, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. And you can follow me on Facebook at Patty V Show and on Twitter at Patty Vasquez CHI and Instagram, same name. And don't forget, throughout the night, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. That's the number that you can text or call us at, 312-981-7200. Let us know what you've been doing the last couple days to get through these brutally cold temperatures. And maybe for some of you, some people seem invigorated by it. I saw a friend of mine named Tim Grimes who was like, "Yeah, this isn't so bad." Oh, Scott, you look a little bit disappointed in our friend Tim.
Yes.
He said it's not that bad.
Well, sure.
All right. I know you're leaving for warmer weather.
I am.
And I know that our friend, Deputy Mayor of Woodstock, Illinois, Mike Turner, just came from Springfield. Was it much warmer down there?
It was 10 degrees difference, yes.
And so does that feel, I mean, cold is cold.
Cold is cold, below zero.
Yeah, anything below zero, it just sort of all blends together.
Yes.
At some point. And we are excited that this weekend is, of course, Groundhog Day, when there's no better place to celebrate Groundhog Day than going to Woodstock, Illinois. You guys have already kicked it off.
We have kicked it off, and it gets into full gear tomorrow, so it is Groundhog Day again.
Again and again and again. Of course, the movie Groundhog Day was filmed in Woodstock, not in Punxsutawney, right? It was filmed right here just north of Chicago.
That's right.
One of the great cities in Illinois.
It was. And original scouting had it someplace in Wisconsin, and we stole it from Wisconsin. One of Harold Ramis's advance people came to Woodstock and said, I have to get Harold down here right now. He did. Harold got out of the car and said, "This is it. This is the vision, and Woodstock is where it was."
Well, especially if you go to the Opera House, that town square, all of the locations in Woodstock were just perfect for the movie.
So, they were. It worked. Yeah. I mean, it all the things they needed from the what's now the Cherry Tree Inn, which was the hotel where Bill Murray stayed, all the way to the square and restaurants, the bar used for the Drink to World Peace, Woodstock Public House now, and it's the original bar and has a plaque right there where he had that drink over and over.
That's just a blast to hang out in Woodstock. You've spent time
there,
too.
Oh, I love Woodstock. I've been up there a number of times to go see events at the Opera House. What kind of events are you guys having this weekend?
So this weekend, it's a variety of things. It's Awakening the Woodstock, Woodstock Willie gets pulled out of his slumber tomorrow.
I'm sorry?
Wakey.
He probably does not want to get up.
You don't poke him, do you?
I don't know. What's the groundhogs are not, I don't think they're the most friendly. I think the handler takes care of that. But
fair enough.
They drive angry.
He gets awakened. Then there's dinner dance Friday night, and Saturday morning, February 2nd, 7:07 a.m. is the prognostication, and then a whole suite of events on Saturday.
And how long have you lived in Woodstock, Mike?
So I'm not a native, but it is home, and I've been there since 96.
Okay, so not long after the filming was in
93, roughly, or I think that was the release, is the 26th year.
Because Groundhog Day did okay in the theaters, but it has taken on a life of its own.
It has. It's become kind of one of those cult films. You know, those of us who grew up in the 80s have our favorite cult films, and then the 90s release of Groundhog Day. It is kind of that Harold Ramis, Bill Murray thing, you know, which they've done other movies before. And this one was the story is it's a mix of humor and kind of darkness and irony. It's actually a very good movie.
The philosophy, the arc of it.
The existential element of it, frankly, is what attracts me. I mean, it's a remarkable film. Did you know someone recently counted how long how long that story arc lasted, because they counted his lives and they added the days and he talks about the days and they did the math, and it has actually lasted 300 plus years. Was that the number that they came up with?
It was something crazy because he has to learn languages and sculpting and philosophy and
piano.
And he has to go through the whole, you know, the different, even his personalities, whether he's gluttonous or introspective and then becomes empathetic. Mm. It's a whole bunch of things going
on. That's pretty good for a few hour movie, right?
It's a lot going on. How do people, you know, when it comes to, you know, the tourists, I know the Cherry Tree loves having people, you know, mm-hmm. stay with them. And by the way, what a beautiful bed and breakfast.
It is.
It's one of the best I've ever had the pleasure of staying at.
Yes.
The food, the people. But the town really does embrace the festivities of, you know, Groundhog Day in particular, how much it's grown since the movie took off.
It does. I mean, we're, you know, the community's very proud of it. Community was heavily involved when it was being filmed, and it has grown from there. It has not faded. And so we embrace it as a community. I like to say that it's an important part of who we are. It's not the only thing that we are, but it's a really important event, and it's something we want to celebrate and add on to the many things we do throughout the year.
Well, let's talk about more of the activities throughout the year in Woodstock, Illinois. We're hanging out with Deputy Mayor Mike Turner from Woodstock. It's really such a beautiful place, and there's no reason for anyone who is interested in exploring Illinois to not have been there. If you're in Chicago, you can jump on the Metra. I did that several times when we were promoting Laughstock, which was a blast last summer, and looking forward to doing it again this year. So you can jump on Metra. It's not a bad drive as well. Great places if it's a good day trip, or you can spend the weekend there. Wonderful shops, the great events at the Opera House, and we'll find out about that in just a moment. We come back on the Patty Vasquez Show, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us anytime. Scott, I know you got stuff to say, too.
I've got a lot of stuff to say.
Right, well, hold on a second. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, hanging out with Deputy Mayor Mike Turner, who's telling us all about the Groundhog festivities in Woodstock, Illinois. Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, fan of Woodstock, joining us on the Patty Vasquez Show. I should turn your microphones on and let you join us. That's probably helpful, rather than just talking at you. And my listeners are like, well, she said they were there. Why can't we hear them? I last summer when we did Laughstock, I could not peel myself away from Ethereal chocolate shop. It's Ethereal. And they have this wonderful cafe. We actually tried to do sort of a pop-up stand-up comedy event there, but the way the shop was laid out made it very difficult because there were like two rooms almost next to each other, and people are enjoying their coffee and they don't want someone to just like burst out in a stand-up comedy all of a sudden. But they have a new location that might lend itself next time. Tell us about the new space.
It definitely will. So we're very excited about them, the fact that they are expanding as a business. They ship their specialty chocolates worldwide, but they're expanding their operations in Woodstock, their kitchen and their manufacturing capabilities. But the other thing that they're doing is creating space for events, creating a a chocolate bar, but also a high end bar where they can, you know, where folks can come in and stop and sample drinks and specialty things that they do. And they're doing a speakeasy down in the basement. And so that's, I think, a real exciting development. They're taking over a building that needed some rehabbing. The owner of the building did a great job working with them, and they are in construction right now. And I think, don't quote me, I think we're looking at a late spring, early summer, May, June, thereabouts, opening.
Oh. I want to be at opening day.
Yeah,
I'll show you this video later, Scott. Before we all go, but there, I made a boomerang video of this cocktail they made, where they basically lock smoke into the glass, and they serve it with this lid on it. And then, so when you receive the cocktail, you take the lid off, and the smoke just sort of it's an old fashioned. It's a smoky old. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, we'll have to make a road trip just for that.
Yes,
and definitely by Metra. In that situation.
Absolutely.
Now, the Opera House, we had the pleasure of performing at the Opera House. Of course, you guys have all kinds of wonderful performers. Last year, you had Jeff Daniels came in, didn't you?
We did,
two years ago?
Two years ago. So yeah. About a year and a half ago. So Jeff Daniels there, and that was, wow, what a great show. And his we sold it out for that particular night. So we're always, you know, the Opera House and the staff that run it from the city do a terrific job of maintaining the building, a great job of programming, and others in the community will also help out. We help with our Real Woodstock team. We'll also do some shows as well. We have a trifecta coming up with in February, March, and April. Gina Chavez, who's a Latin pop singer, Garnett Rogers, who does folk and is a nationally renowned folk singer, and then Jimmy Webb, who's a four-time Grammy winner, kind of intertwines music and storytelling, is there in April. And you know, the price on this is really inexpensive. I think it's like $75-79 for all three tickets. And so you know, check that out at realwoodstock.com. but the Opera House does terrific shows. In addition to that, our own Town Square Players, which is our production company, private production company there, has got two events or an event coming up, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, and they have 12 shows in March. And my guess is they'll sell most of those out. You know, it's a great venue and a great production.
And it's a gorgeous place.
Oh, my gosh.
As you mentioned, it's not just a great venue because it's historic. You go in there and you just feel like you're being transported someplace else.
Yes.
Regardless of what the performance is, you know, and it's, and the performers love it too. I know that we had such a great time there. I performed with Emo Phillips, Annabelle Laval, and all the other performers from Laughstock. And it just, there's not a bad seat in the room. The acoustics are ridiculously good. Yep. If I was to ever record a comedy special, that's where I would want to do it.
Oh, now see, now yeah. We're talking. And you rocked Laughstock, by the way.
That's very nice of you.
You crushed it that night.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was such a blast. And I've met a lot of people there. I went to the farmer's market to help perform, to help promote Laughstock. And I met a lot of people who have moved there from other. Actually, one of our favorite comics here, one a regular on the show, Vince Moranto, has moved to Laughstock, and I know you're trying to bring in. I mean, to Woodstock. I know you're trying to bring in more comedy nights out there too.
We are, in fact, Caroline Ray, who's does a comedic show. She is also she's doing her show out there in February as well on the 16th. So comedy is probably something we haven't done as much of in the past there, and it's something we're looking to do more of.
That's outstanding. Yeah, Caroline Ray is hysterical. She played she's a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the aunts on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original version of it, not the one that's on Netflix. There's
right.
A much darker version now, but she was on the, like, I think it was the WB at the time. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember which one she was.
She was the blonder sort of,
yes, okay,
funnier one. I don't know. They're both very funny. So it's hard to say. And so you've got the great events coming up at the Opera House. Of course, we've got the Groundhog Day events that started yesterday and run through Sunday. You've got viewings of the movie. You've got some trivia. You're going to be awakening the groundhog. What else do you want to tell us about these the events?
You know, Saturday's without a doubt the fullest day. You mentioned the two, the free movie screening. So Woodstock Theater does a free screening at 10 a.m. on Saturday and again at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So go see the movie in our great Woodstock Theater and their Harold Ramis Theater, which is a beautiful restored old style theater. There's the at 7:07 after the prognostication, at 7:20 there's a group Drink to World Peace, which occurs at the Woodstock Public House, which right at the bar where Bill Murray was. I mentioned that before. It's at 7:20, but I'm sure it goes on and on from that. There's a movie walking site tour, which is actually a kind of an unheralded thing, and actually it gets quite a few people to attend, where we actually have somebody that has experience with the movie that actually walks people around to the various sites. You know, it's the main ones you think about. It's the Cherry Tree Inn, which was the building. It's the word, you know, Ned, Needle-Nosed Ned, steps off. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Stephen Tobolowsky is coming this year to the celebration. And he has his own show, or not show, but his own talk at 3 o'clock on Saturday at the Opera House.
He's an author, and if you've ever heard him on Nick D's show, he tells these great stories, and he's written several books that are wonderful, and the things that he shares are just, it's touching and funny, and something that you should not miss if you have the opportunity to go out to Woodstock, in addition to all the other great things. And the walking tour is on Saturday, so by Saturday, it's going to be a balmy 30 degrees
out. And there's another one on, there's actually too. There's a walking tour on Saturday, and then another one Sunday at 12:30. So
by Sunday, it's going to be 42 degrees out.
I know. We'll be in shorts and tank tops.
That's right, and a scarf.
Please. All of the things that we're doing, everything related to Woodstock and Groundhog Day, realwoodstock.com will get you everything.
realwoodstock.com for all that great stuff. And I just posted a photo of you on my story. I'm terrible at Instagram and posting stories, so I'm experimenting with some of the apps.
Well, it's
so
good to know that I'm the part of the experiment.
You're the first one that I did like a graphic on, so I'll show it to you and see if it was okay. And then I'll show you the video of the smoky old-fashioned. And you know what? I'll post that video, too, for Ethereal. Folks can get out to see the spot that they're in now in Woodstock, and then soon to be in a larger location with a speakeasy. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. We're having fun. Every week, we like to check in with political cartoonist Scott Stantis from the Chicago Tribune. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and a lot going. I feel like there's never a loss for you of material
ever.
Just, you wake up and you go, now what?
Yeah, I wake up to the news every morning.
And do you check your phone right away? Do you look at Twitter? Do you just to see, or do you get alerts?
Yes.
What do you go through first? Your alerts?
I go through the alerts, and then you see, okay, is there something really bad happen? And then what did he tweet today?
Well, now what is what I feel like. Mike, do you do that? Deputy Mayor Mike Turner joining us as well from Woodstock, Illinois. Do you look at your phone, or do you give yourself a grace period before you look at anything like
that? I'm pretty obsessive. I read it pretty much right away.
Yeah. And they say that you should not, that you should wake up, you know, whether it's, you know, stretch or have some water and do other things, take care, do a little self-care, and then turn on your phone or whatever digital device. I wonder if anybody does that.
I'll add it to the list of things I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've heard all that. I check out the news, I check out emails and all that stuff, and then I get out of bed, and then I get the coffee and lay out the vitamins for Jenny and I. And
well, that's a good process.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of self care there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I guess I've got to be better. That was supposed to be one of my goals this year, was to take better care of myself.
How's that going?
Yeah, I'm gonna have some more coffee at 11 o'clock tonight. Yeah. It's going very well.
It's the worst that can happen.
Well, there's a decaf button on that machine, but I'm not entirely sure that I trust it. Deputy Mayor.
I used it tonight. Works just fine.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens at 9 o'clock in the morning if we're both still awake. I'll text you.
Okay.
That'll be the...
That reminds me of the Roseanne show years ago, and she's working at a diner, and she goes, we don't have any decaf. And she takes the regular and pours it into the orange top thing and says, now we do. So I'm thinking that machine is the same thing.
That's always my fear. And I'll have decaf once in a while. I don't know. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
One, we want to make sure we get to all of the great folks who are participating in the Woodstock Groundhog Day events. And Deputy Mayor, you said there were a few people you wanted to acknowledge before you take leave tonight.
Yes. I wanted to talk about a special guest that will be attending the prognostication. So prognostication is put on by our own Mayor Sager. He's a key part of the, proclaiming whether the shadow is seen or not, and joining us Saturday is Congresswoman Lauren Underwood, our newly elected congresswoman from our district. So that's kind of an exciting thing. And I wanted to highlight one of the great corporate members of Woodstock is Woodstock Harley Davidson. This is an outstanding corporate citizen that not only does a great job in serving their Harley customers, but is a great friend of the community. And they are hosting the Woodstock School District D200. Groundhog Day fundraiser on Saturday the 9th, and it's a great event for the community, always fun, and Harley deserves a shout out for the work that Doug Jackson and his entire crew do there.
That's, and I, by the way, I was just listening, you know, I once in a while listen to the business reports that Orion does, and he was talking about how well Harley Davidson's doing this year. That's great to hear as well. So thank you for the shout outs to all the great people participating in the Woodstock Groundhog Day events. And Scott, you have so when it comes to Groundhog Day, do you hope that the groundhog sees a shadow? Because either way, spring is coming, right?
Sure. Well, that's the rumor.
Isn't it 6 weeks either way? If he sees his shadow,
if he sees it, then it's oh God, thanks, Patty.
This was not
everything I talked about. Just went downhill.
I'll erase it by showing Scott a video of that smoky old fashioned. Isn't that's amazing?
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Which you can purchase at you can enjoy at Ethereal in Woodstock, Illinois. And look, I know there's a lot going on that you have to draw. I've talked to you when Scott, when you have these options, you're like, which story do I go after? But this week with City Hall News, how do you not just draw that every single day?
Well, that's the thing. Is that with and I just love the idea of Alderman Solis wearing a wire. He's being like castigated because apparently he's in the mafia, and snitches get stitches. That seems to be the vibe in the City Hall right now, and just all these elected officials wondering, what the hell did I say in front of them?
Oh yeah, you have to like play back that tape. I've done that. Have you ever like realized that you butt dialed somebody and then you're like, did I talk about them when they picked up the phone? Imagine having to do that and think about 18,000 hours?
Yeah.
And how many times did you talk to him? And what everyone is salivating over is Speaker Madigan.
Yeah, you know,
I'm with you. Whatever you're gonna say next, I'm with you. Go ahead.
No, he's been investigated before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like the guy has been speaker since I think what Madison was president. I mean, seriously, this guy is. They've tried and they've tried and they've tried. He's very good at what he does.
He's savvy. Yeah, he knows. He knows what he should and shouldn't say in front of people.
Yeah,
mayor, a deputy mayor. I saw that you were. Was there like hand signals with you?
There was.
you're still on camera.
You see the shadow. Six more weeks of winter, so I'll try to do. A recovery there since I didn't have it instantly. So
it's okay. So if he sees his shadow.
Yeah, six more weeks of winter.
And if he doesn't see a shadow?
No, it's right around the corner, springs around the corner. So my goal would be to see it as quick as possible after the last few days. So
if Madigan sees his shadow on the tapes, see how I can bring this all back
together.
That's
not bad. Well done.
No, people are really hoping because so many people want to see him take a tumble. But I honestly think that I talked to somebody in Springfield. Obviously, you know, a lot of folks who work closely with Madigan. There are people who, do actually, believe it or not, there are people down there that do admire him and appreciate the work that he's done.
I admire him tremendously to do what he's done for the decades he's done it. I think that's remarkable. I think he's evil. I think he's pure molten evil, but that's me. But the fact is, he's done it great.
Now I have an image of molten evil. Is molting like he's shedding like a skin? Like is it feathers?
It can be all of it.
Molten. Or is molten like hot? Am I misunderstanding?
Yes,
the way you're
molten
putting
is hot.
Okay.
Like bubbly.
Okay. The deputy mayor's trying to figure out. He's like, you know what? I was just out in Springfield trying to make friends with everybody.
I was.
I just came up from there.
I saw you lean back away from the microphone.
I'm an editorial cartoonist. I have no friends.
I'll toss this in because I was just down there. Mm-hmm. And there is a change on both sides as it relates to the recognition that we need to get some things done.
Do you feel that people are willing to work with each other in ways they hadn't in the last couple of years?
Yes.
That's good to know, and that's what we need.
We've had the pleasure, through the partner we work with down there, the mayor and I, Councilman Tebow, our city manager, went down, and we didn't meet with Madigan, although we met with the assistant, Jay Hoffman, assistant majority leader in the House. We met with Senator Cullerton. We met with Senator Brady and Representative Durkin, and all of them expressed an interest and an expectation that we might be able to get some things done. And that is a good thing.
That's what it takes, is having those conversations, having FaceTime with people, and being willing to sit down with each other is important. Now, the story out of City Hall and what you were talking about, Scott, and the fact that people are mostly latching on to the fact that that's not how we do business. You know, what a stoolie.
We're a family?
Yeah.
Good
Lord. What a rat. And you're like, could you not reinforce the image of Chicago as one of the most corrupt places on the planet?
Exactly. Well, but the story's about Solis now coming out. I mean, this is a family radio station. We can't talk about many of them, but...
Well, everyone's talking about, oh, now he's under investigation. No. That's why he was wearing the wire.
Right.
He made a deal, is the way I would imagine that.
We don't know that. You have to presume, surely, that that's why you would do this, and...
Yes. Deputy Mayor Turner would like to take, would like to plead the fifth, apparently. You're not responding. There's nothing here that's going to, you know, we understand and appreciate your position on that. 312-981-7200. You're always welcome to join our conversation. Oh, Tom, you know what I forgot to tell you? Remember our caller, Joe, last night, who had a question for Warren, our car guy, about the PSI. And hold on a second. I have the calculation here. My husband actually was disappointed that I didn't catch his text. My husband, Steve, worked out the calculation that Joe was asking about last night, which was, hold on, let me see if it makes sense. Roughly loss of 10 degrees equals about one PSI.
Wow.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just put that in my notebook for later.
Yeah, so in case Joe checks in with us,
was there math? What the hell?
There was math, and our car guy Warren was like, "Yeah, that's not in my purview." I can't remember the question, but there's the answer. More after this on 720 WGN. That's how we do on my show. On Thursday, political cartoonist Scott Stantis is leaving town because he just can't take it anymore.
I can't take it.
You can't take it.
I can't take it.
I know. I know. Well, you've lived all over the country, but I think at heart you prefer places that are warm.
I do. Well, as you get older.
I think when you were younger, you enjoyed it too. Deputy Mayor Mike Turner is giving you the thumbs up, and yeah, you're ready to go too. You
the last 2 days, yes, I'm ready to go.
Well, this makes you appreciate this area the rest of the
year. Does.
I mean, the idea that it's going to be 65 degrees warmer than it is right now on Sunday, doesn't that just sound incredible?
It's a startling concept, actually, because if you think about the difference between 35 degrees and 100 degrees,
yeah,
it's 65 degrees. So we don't really think in terms of differences between, you know, 40 degrees and minus 25. You know,
I grew up in San Diego. It was 75 every day of my life. And
see,
then,
this is what I'm saying.
And I grew up in the opposite place of San Diego, Minnesota. So,
oh, really? Where yes. It's also in this big band, as Tom Skilling has mentioned, a 1,000-mile-wide blob of cold, frigid air.
Blob? Is that the technical?
He said blob. You can look.
I quoted him
yesterday on Twitter. So I am the source of the quote. Yeah, I was listening to him on Rokan's show, and I was like, I'm sorry. Is that a weather term? A meteorological term is a blob.
Yes, a cold blob.
Sounds like something in a horror movie. This cold blob mass just sliding down the side of the planet.
If the shoe fits.
Well, you know, in Australia, it's like 120 degrees right now.
Oh, yeah,
would you rather have? Right now, 120 degrees or this? Tom, I'm going to start with you, Tom Hush.
Yeah. It's kind of like one of those questions where it's like, would you rather freeze to death or burn to death? And, you know, honestly, I'm gonna take freeze to death because not to be too morbid, I've been told.
Yes.
I've been told that when you freeze to death, right before you go, you have like this moment of warmth where like your body is just shut down. And then you experience super warmth, and then you're dead.
You drift off.
Yeah.
This sounds, you're right. We both sound really dark.
Yeah, it's
this.
Super dark. Well, I mean, how do you approach that other than like, what environment would I rather die in?
So freeze to death or burn up in a desert?
I'm not going to pick it from a death perspective, but I'd rather be warm than cold, okay?
Fair enough.
So I'm going in the shade in 120 with at least some iced tea or something and a fan.
Okay, so
and a pool.
Well, yeah, I can never get cool enough. In extreme heat, I can never get cool enough. I don't release body heat. Like, I don't sweat very well. God, I just shared too much information. In hot weather, I have to, Steve freezes 2-liter bottles filled with water so that I can go to bed with them. Yeah, okay, everyone's staring at me.
Hello.
Wow.
He's like, cool off, will you? Yeah, I have to. Yeah, that's what.
Wow. No, see, Australia is surrounded by water. So if it's hot, you can go to the beach.
Yeah, that's not helpful. So Tom and I would rather be cold.
Plus, I don't look good. I look better in layers, you know. I don't.
These are
I'm
other
not
good
shorts. You know, I'm
these
not
are other
shorts.
Good issues. I think that he brings up a valid point there. Layers or bikini? What's your preference?
I don't wear the latter.
Don't tell me you've never put on a bikini once, not just to see what it was like.
Oh boy, this got awkward. This got really, really
well,
awkward.
Well, I was an art major in the 80s. You do the math.
Anything goes.
Me and David Lynch were putting on bikinis back in the day.
Before you were born.
Yeah, so all right.
We were thonging it up before anyone else
a little
was.
Banana hammock action?
Yeah.
All right, then. Sorry, Deputy Mayor.
That's outstanding. That's perfect.
You will not be able to unsee that for the rest of the evening.
Yeah. No, it's kind of frozen. You're right. It's proverbially frozen, yes.
That'll happen. Will this be the coldest Groundhog Day event that Woodstock has had to host?
We dodged a bullet. It could have been today or tomorrow morning.
Right, that's right? True. Yeah.
And we're getting that bump up, so it'll feel probably more normal.
As the weekend progresses.
Yeah, so. I mean, we would have, you know, that would have been kind of tough on everybody if it had been tomorrow morning when it's supposed to be, what, 28? Below 29 below out in Woodstock, so
and especially being able to celebrate over the weekend in general is just a blast. You know, it gives people an opportunity to get out there, hop on Metra,
yep,
drops you off,
easy Metra ride out to Woodstock.
Yeah, it's like a block from the town square,
and a quick drive out the Northwest Tollway up 47, and you're there.
Ta-da. Love it.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. And where can people get more information about the events?
All information about Groundhog Day and all things Woodstock at realwoodstock.com.
And where you're located, are there folks that that commute to the city and perhaps north of you? What are the, like, you know, where do people go?
Yeah, so it's, you know, I think you get a mix. So we do have a decent number of commuters. You know, we're out on the edge of the commute, mm-hmm, but an express train can get you down in about 1 hour 5. And we're looking to expand Metro train schedule out there over the next number of years. And so you've got those folks. You got folks that work in McHenry County. You got folks that work in the northwest suburbs. And you do have people that work up in Wisconsin.
See how I brought that around to Foxconn? So
nice. Well played.
Which would be an opportunity, I would think. Maybe, I don't know if where they're planning to build some of their locations, it would affect Woodstock.
So it depends on what they eventually build, and that's somewhat, appears to be in question right now. But we have talked about it, mm-hmm, because while their main location, you know, it's a stretch. It's probably an hour drive or 55-minute drive, but it's an easy drive. So if they were to do that, we felt that it might be something we want to market. But then, again, depending on what they do, and if other businesses locate around them, if it comes to pass, then you begin to latch on to those other business employees for those other businesses. And we have talked about it as a city. If that comes to pass, how can we attract people to our town?
And the news today, though, is despite the fact that they had this deal with Wisconsin, they had gotten some tax breaks and they were lured. I know. And there were a lot of states that were vying for that. And they were competing and throwing out all kinds of numbers. And today the announcement was that even though they had said they were going to be opening up this location with a lot of blue collar jobs, they're now saying it's mostly going to be research development. They want engineers, which I'm guessing means that they're going to be seeking people from other locations.
Well, of course. And the thing is, they also the area had started to tailor its, like, for instance, the community college was going to be, it opened up a manufacturing wing for the college. They built it with the idea that this was going to help, you know, be a feeder to the factory
and trade departments.
Yes,
right.
So none of that's going to happen, and it's like, what the hell? And so, you know, you mentioned that, you know, this thing could still shake out right, and we don't know where it's going to go. But the fact of the matter is that Foxconn has a reputation for backing out of its agreements, and that we should have seen this coming, and Wisconsin should have seen it coming. I mean, the president was there, at the time, Speaker Ryan was there for the groundbreaking and all that stuff, and I'm sorry, Wisconsin seems to have been taken for. And whether or not the massive tax benefits they're getting out of this thing are going to come to fruition, because it sounds to me like they're backing out of the deal.
Well, ultimately, go ahead.
It depends. You know, ultimately, it depends what they end up putting there. I'm not an expert on the deal. It is my general impression and hope that any tax breaks are completely dependent, or, you know, mostly dependent on the ability to put and create the jobs that they promised. And if you don't bring them, then you shouldn't get paid. I mean, even at the small local level that we do in Woodstock, you don't do X, you're not going to get Y. You do X and you'll get Y.
Right.
That's the way it should work. You got to be held accountable.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, the community college, if they ramped up for this, that, you know, that's not good. But if they ramped up and they have this capability, can other manufacturers and other businesses take advantage? Because frankly, the need for technical skilled people is not being met.
Yes, I agree with that, because there are welding jobs in the state of Illinois that are going unfilled because people are not practicing those trades. I've got to go to the break and then the news, because we're going to hear the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in just a moment. And before the deputy mayor goes, we'll find out where you can find more information for the Groundhog Day celebration. We want to thank Deputy Mayor Mike Turner for joining us tonight. And one more time, where can people find out about the Woodstock Groundhog Day events? Oh, one second. There you go.
all things going on, www.realwoodstock.com. And thank you again for having me
on. Of course. Anytime. You know my door's open. I know you want to come in and do our finally. We changed it to Finally Friday instead of Freak Out Friday because it's just freaking out's too exhausting. Scott, I just can't. I just once in a while.
That's my job description.
It's just Finally Friday. We save all of our, you know, headline stories about Trump or whatever else is going on.
I will take you up on that.
Yeah, please do. I think that you I think that you would find it fun and a good place to sort of you know, put a lot of ideas out there.
Good.
So, have a great evening and be safe.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. We are going to check in with our friend Valerie Landis after the news. She's going to tell us a little bit about planning for modern day parenting. I'm sorry, how cold is it getting now? I heard that we might tie the record for coldest ever in Chicago. Tom Skilling said earlier today it might get down to a negative 27. But at some point, Tom, once it's below zero, it's just below zero, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can
it's all relative.
Keep telling me that it's like colder, but I don't know. It's just like, yeah, it's cold, super cold.
Well, I guess the part that we should keep in mind, and Vic, I think you would agree with this, is your exposure to it. Is it becomes shorter and shorter. That's the part we should probably be measuring rather than how cold it is. This is how much time you have to be outside safely. I don't know how we tell people that.
I don't know. You got to just tell them, cover everything up. It's like the good doctor said last night, just put on, even I wore sunglasses tonight to protect my eyes, yeah. Which was, you know, kind of weird. But
I saw a lot of folks wearing like their ski goggles and things like that too.
Smart.
It's a good idea. Well, this is an interesting pivot because, we're talking about freezing and cold. And several weeks ago, doing the Singles Only podcast, I met one of Paul Farvar's guests, a young woman named Valerie Landis. And I wanted to learn more because she was talking about, well, first, Valerie, when I met you, we were in an elevator going up to do the podcast and you had a carton of eggs.
Yeah, I did.
And I didn't, and you were like, you know, and you were like, oh, it's a part of the branding. And I was like, is she going to cook? I wasn't sure. So you were carrying a dozen eggs and I got to know more about you on the Singles Only podcast. Of course, Paul talks to people who are dating, have been in relationships, what it's like out there. And I, you know, when you started talking about your experience in women's health, tell us a little bit about what led you to create Eggology Experience and encouraging young women to start planning ahead for if they want to become a parent or, you know, they want to, maybe they won't get married someday. All these different options that women have these days.
Yeah. Well, egg freezing is a hot topic, even though it's about freezing and being cold. If personally for me, it kind of pivoted in the aspect where I actually do this for a living.
Uh-huh.
So I work in the fertility space. And then I realized there's so many advantages with this technology. It's really grown over the last like 5, 6, 7 years. And I should do it myself. So I embarked on the process and took the leap of faith and froze my eggs. And I was like, wow, this is powerful and empowering and can really change your whole perspective on family planning topics.
Because there are, you know, again, doing Paul's podcast, we talked to women in particular about whether or not they ever want to be parents, if they ever want to have kids. And it changes, you know, it depends on where you are in life. But, you know, you start thinking about the long-term picture. And if you want to have a career or maybe you don't meet the right person, what does that mean for having kids? And when you started talking about it, I mean, I don't know that it was something I could have or would have done in my 20s. I told you that I had thought about donating my eggs, with, you know, as a way to make money. And that's something else that, you know, women, you know, have to be aware of how our bodies work because that just seemed like a money-making thing. But you're talking about it from a planning and you mentioned empowering, taking control of your future. I know Scott was kind of like, now what are we talking about? Because this has changed. This is something that women really didn't think about freezing their eggs for future, you know, parenting 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I always say that your mom is not probably the best source of information when it comes to egg freezing because it wasn't available to her when she was our age. So women that were born in the 1980s can benefit the most because of when the technology first came out. So 2012, the ASRM, American Society of Reproductive Medicine, deemed that it was non-experimental to freeze your eggs and for non-medical reasons, so like if you have cancer or some kind of medical condition. And so that really prolongs and puts women on the same playing field as men, because men they make new sperm every 3 months. And women, we are born with all the eggs that we're ever going to have. Like, before we're even born, we have, like, you know, 20,000 egg or 20 million eggs. And by the time you're born, you have like a million left. So by the time you have your first period when you're 13 and you've gone through that process, you lose eggs throughout the whole cycle. So age is the biggest factor for women going through this, whether they're going to be able to reproduce.
And, you know, again, they want to, you know, pursue a career. That's the question that women are always asked. Like, what if you get this job and then you want to have kids?
Yeah, there's lots of reasons that egg freezing can be really beneficial. I mean, I always say, like, regardless of if you're married or not, or if you're in a partner relationship, finding your parenting partner is the person that you're with right now, even if you're married, may not be your parenting partner. So, like, I know lots of women that freeze their eggs after they've gotten divorced or a major breakup. It seems to be like the pivotal moment where you're like, okay, now I realize what I want.
And the other thing is fertility becomes harder and harder. I mean, there's a friend of mine, she's divorced, and her ex-husband and his new wife are going to have kids, and she's in her 40s, and it's like they got pregnant thinking, like, I'm sure that they thought, well, it's so hard to get pregnant, what are the chances? But for many people, once you hit a certain age, it becomes harder and harder, no matter how many times you were checking your calendar and trying to line things up and you know, monitor your fertility. The thing about freezing your eggs when you're in your 20s is that you have that safety net, I guess.
Yeah, and even early 30s is good too. You know, I always say too that you know, when it really comes down to it, is it gives you more options. And eggs is kind of like money. You know, you could never have enough of them. No, you can never have enough eggs. You can never have enough money. I've actually frozen twice. I'm working on my third freeze, which a lot of people freak out about at first. They're like, what? Why would you freeze again? That's a lot of eggs. You already have 30 in the bank. And I'm like, well, no, you just don't ever know. Like, if I want a big family someday, you have to start with how many children you want first and then work backwards, because it's all egg math. You know, like 12 eggs, roughly, so a carton of eggs, which kind of goes back to the whole pun. A baker's dozen of eggs really only equals one live birth. So if you think about it from that perspective, it changes the game. And when you freeze younger, obviously you have more benefits. You take less medications because you're on hormones for like 2 weeks. And it's pretty painless process. I mean, some people have more, you know, side effects than others. I was very affected. Like, I felt a lot of bloating. I got a little bit of, you know, weight gain. But for the most part, It was relatively easy. I mean, easy enough that I'm doing it for the third time.
Are there conversations that you have with people that they're concerned about the morality of it? They're hesitant to even have these conversations. I mean, women's health in general, people get a little bit, you know, they get the heebie-jeebies sometimes.
Yeah. Well, egg freezing wasn't very productive or very beneficial in the past. So there used to be slow freeze, and now we've increased the technology and we've made it better. We've improved it. Now it's vitrification, so it fast freezes the egg, and so the egg ends up surviving a lot better than in the past. And actually, that technology advanced because the Catholic Church had a big problem with destroying embryos. And embryos, of course, is when you inject a sperm into an egg and it starts creating life. Now we could have that debate, like, when life actually starts, but that's irrelevant.
The science has helped because of what the push to preserve the embryos. Right.
Right. So the science got pushed because of the Catholic Church and the religious aspect of things.
So how do they harvest the eggs? I'm curious about the process. I have to admit. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually creating a whole video doc series on this, because your question and the men seem to be much more interested in.
That's why I wanted him to stay.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
It's important for the other sex to understand what we have to go through in order to help procreate here, because men, it's so much simpler. But for women, so you take hormones for 2 weeks. So it's injections, a series of injections every single night. And your doctor will create your protocol for you based on your levels, your AMH levels, you know, your blood tests, all those signs, that your anti-follicle count. They'll do a quick ultrasound, see how your ovaries are doing. And then essentially you take shots every night, and they grow the ovaries. So, like, in a regular cycle, women would, you know, only maybe have one egg that would fertilize or be ready to fertilize. When you're doing this process, it heightens it, and we try to get as many eggs as possible. And so we grow all the follicles, as many as possible, and then 36 hours before the retrieval, we give ourselves a trigger shot that releases the eggs to be able to be retrieved. And so they put in a vaginal ultrasound with a tiny little needle in the end, and it sucks out all the eggs. And then in the lab, the embryologist will then, you know, clean them off, get them ready, and fast freeze them.
So the symptoms you had afterwards, the discomfort that was from the shots.
Yeah.
It wasn't, so the process itself...
Yeah, some of it was the shots. Depending on what kind of trigger shot you're given, you'll have a kind of a hangover effect. So they tell you to take it easy the day of retrieval. But, you know, 24, 48 hours, you can pretty much bounce back to normal.
We are talking to Valerie Landis, and she's educating us about being able to control your own biological clock. You know, there are so many concerns that women have, and not just women, but men, when it comes to planning ahead for a family. If you're already in a relationship and you know you want to spend your life with somebody, but you're not ready for kids, this is another option for you to be able to, you know, have an idea of what's going to happen next. You can go to eggsperience.com for more information about Valerie, and we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment after this break. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is the number to call or text us. More in a moment. You know, a lot of people are either complaining about the cold weather. I'm not looking at you, Scott Santis. No, I mean, look, we're braving it the best we can. Joining me in studio is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis. Our guest, Valerie Landis, also joins us in studio. We can gripe all we want, but what we should be is grateful for those men and women who show up when the rest of us want to hunker down and hide. Joining us on the line is firefighter Todd Chuchuk. Todd, I'm guessing it was a busy day, not just for you, but for firehouses all over the city. How are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. What kind of calls were you out on today?
A lot of just cold related. Fortunately, we haven't had any fires, but you probably heard about the one in Ukrainian village where two people passed away. It's these are tough days because it's not only the cold that gets us, it's also the fact that you think you're putting out a fire and the water will freeze, it'll freeze over the flame, and you have little pockets that you have to try to get to. And, you know, there's people aren't taking it, I don't want to say seriously, but, you know, there was a non-working smoke detector which caused those two people to unfortunately perish. And it's just little things like that, you know, it's a sad way to lose somebody over something as small as that could have saved them.
Do you have quick reminders? I mean, like, there are some people who just, you know, they when the daylight savings comes along, they put that on their calendar as to when they also should change the batteries on their fire alarms.
Absolutely. Both seasons, you do it at the start of spring and then at the beginning of fall. This way you're never going to run into that problem with the detectors not working. Also, carbon monoxide detectors are something that a lot of people still don't have in their houses. And especially when you get to days like this where it's getting colder, around the holidays you're doing a lot more cooking, your windows are more bottled up because it's not as warm out, so the carbon monoxide can build up really easily. Keeping your hot water heaters, your furnaces, your boilers, whatever you have, make sure they're getting serviced at the change of the seasons, especially when you get in the wintertime, because blockages do happen with dust and everything. So that'll tend to back up the gas. And, you know, as we know, you can't smell it, and it's definitely a silent killer.
I heard when they were reporting about this fire that we're talking about earlier today that the water flow is fine from the hydrant. And I know you've called before when people are out shoveling, and this is something to keep in mind throughout the winter is when you're shoveling is to make sure you uncover those fire hydrants and be aware of that, right?
Yeah, a 3-foot by 3-foot square area that just gives us enough room to be able to turn it on, and also keeps the ice from forming around it, which you have a stem inside, which that'll freeze, and when the stem freezes inside of the hydrant, you know, we'll get a hydrant somewhere down the line, but you know, we'd rather have one right in front of where we're working instead of having to go maybe a block or two away from the fire. It just, it makes it easier for us to do our job to make sure we get everybody out.
Hey, I wanted to jump in and ask. My desk is right next to our windows. It's an old apartment building, so they're very drafty. I have a space heater. It's an electric one. It's small. I mean, is that a danger? What precautions do I have to take for that? And
you pretty much want to make sure that they're just not set next to curtains, next to a lot of people like to sit them right next to their beds. And when we think about the fire, you think more of flame. You don't think of just convection, which is the heat that just builds up over time. A lot of people, you know, they want to put it right by their feet. Well, you got your feet covered on top of it, and it's just going to build up. And depending on how old it is, you know, now the newer ones, obviously, we don't see the problems with them. But the older ones, you've got the coils, and once the coil heats up, then you run into problems with that. A lot of things that people do, too, is they overload extension cords. Not a good idea. Always having a power strip that'll pop a circuit in case it does overload. You're going to be obviously a lot safer than that. You know, you'll see some people that'll have five or six plugs plugged into one extension cord with little, what they call like jimmies, or where they keep adding on. Well, that's, again, that's causing more heat on the plug, and the plug is going to fail. And if it's an older wiring system, then, you know, you're overloading that circuit and you're going to cause a fire inside the walls. Another thing people do is they try to hide the cord. So they'll coil up cords. And if you, like let's say you have a lamp and you want to wrap that cord around the lamp, you're actually restricting the electricity flow, which is causing that to heat up, which can also cause a fire because you're overloading that circuit. It's supposed to be a nice, long, straight circuit, and when people start coiling it, then you're just causing more friction.
We are talking to firefighter Todd Chuchuk, and particularly want to take some precautions. We want people to be safe, but we also want our first responders to be safe. I was wondering what your thoughts were when you heard about this guy trying to walk out on the lake out by the break wall. Oh, yeah.
What?
And and the thing is that people think that they're just being funny or experimenting, but then that means that guys like Todd and our firefighters and our cops have to go out and rescue them, and then they're put in danger.
Do they have to? I'm sorry, that was mean.
Yeah, Todd, what are your thoughts when you see stuff like that?
It's depressing. You know, we had the guy yesterday walking his dog, and his dog fell in, then he fell in, he got the dog out. But you're calling people to a scene that really could have been avoided.
Yeah.
And it just puts more people in harm's way. And, of course, we're not going to sit there and watch the poor guy, you know, possibly drown. I mean, we're going to go in, and unfortunately, we've seen in the past where we've gone in and we haven't come out of it.
Right.
And we've been able to get them out, and, you know, that's the call that we want, not that we want, but that's why we do what we do. It's just that, you know, people think that it's never going to happen to them, I guess is the easiest way to say it, and then it does. And they have rules, their laws in Arizona, which are great, which they need to adapt somehow here. They're called basically stupidity laws. If you get caught in a monsoon out in Arizona and you live there and you know the risks that are involved, if they call you, if the fire department or police department gets called out, you have to pay for those services.
Yeah.
Because you're putting a crimp on somebody who might actually need it, you know. And, I mean, things like that need to be adapted. And it's unfortunate, but sometimes that gets people to get the wake-up call.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Todd, and so do our listeners. One of the texts says, thank God for first responders. They are true heroes. So, Todd, we want to thank you so much for sharing some important safety information and a little bit of perspective. And go get some rest. I know that it could be any minute now when you've got to, you know, get your turnout gear on and go out and help somebody. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
No, no problem. Thanks for that, Patty.
And by the way, that is his real voice. It's not because of the smoke. That's how Todd sounds. Have a great night, Todd. We'll talk to you again soon. Let's not make it be so long next time. I mean, in between the conversations. You know you can call anytime. Love hearing from you.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Take care. When we come back, we're going to check in with our friend Ken Jakubowski. He's going to give us the under and over on how long he thinks Gladys Knight's going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl this Sunday. More in a moment on 720 WGN. This Sunday, a lot of people are going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'm actually going to go to see a play during the day. There's a play called Woman in Black at the Royal George Theater. They're giving there's a discount. If you wear your favorite NFL jersey or shirt, you can get a discounted ticket. And so I'll be there. It's a 2:30 performance, and then I'm going to rush home because I want to know how long Gladys Knight's going to sing the national anthem. Joining us on the line is Ken Jakubowski, who is how should I describe your ability to help people figure out what to bet on.
Oh boy. Let's just say that I have a knack for this.
Okay, you have a special skill set. It's not quite Liam Neeson and Taken. This is a different kind of skill set.
Although that was a very good skill set.
Yes. So tell us, I didn't realize, maybe I've heard it before, but there are people who bet on how long the national anthem will go. How long someone's going to sing that song?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, at mybookie.com, they have, I'm looking at it right now, you can bet on how long the length of time from the start of the music to the first note sung. 5.5 seconds. You can bet over or under. The length of time of the word brave, whether it's going to be sung over 4.5 seconds or under. Will Gladys forget a word? Will Gladys be, what will she be wearing for the anthem? What will Gladys use to sing, a microphone or a headset? You can bet on all this stuff. Will she be joined by a pianist? Yes or no?
Will there be a pip?
Will there be a pip? Is that that's on the board?
No, but last time we talked about this, not last Friday, the Friday before, you talked about the color of her outfit. And I forgot which color. What color do you have any remember? Do you remember what you said?
I don't remember what I said then, and I suspect I'm going with red.
Okay, red is here. Red is +400, which means if you bet $100, you could win $400, which means you get your $100 back +400. You walk home with $500 in your pocket. They've now expanded the colors to black, white, red, purple, gold, orange, green, and yellow, and then a category any other color.
You know, now that you mention it, I think when we were on the air, I think I said gold, and it wasn't in the category when you said that it wasn't available.
Gold is now +800.
And
it's the predominant color of her outfit. So, you know, she could wear purple and gold, but yet orange could be the predominant color of the outfit, although that would be an amazingly disgusting thing to look at on television in terms of color combination. But, yeah, this has exploded in the last 8 years or so, what they call proposition and entertainment betting. There are more wagers put on these sorts of bets on the actual game itself.
Ken, you have two people in the studio with our jaws open.
Yeah, Valerie's a...
And we're just kind of going, what?
Mm-hmm. I don't know why someone would want to do this.
You know, people bet on everything. You can bet on the coin toss, heads or tails. I mean, literally, you could bet on the coin toss. Talk about the ultimate 50-50 bet.
Well, here's the thing. So the national anthem, according to CBS.com, the national anthem has been sung in over 1 minute and 45 seconds in each of the last six Super Bowls. And that's where the over-under mark opened for Gladys Knight.
Yeah, and that's where it is in most places right now. But I have found a national anthem. The last time that I could... that I'm able to find that Gladys Knight sang the national anthem was 28 years ago, and she did it in 92 seconds, a minute 32.
Really?
So bet the under.
No, I'm still going over. Nope. For all the reasons stated, 10 days ago on the show, I'm going over.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean,
well, she's older, so it's going to be slower.
Well, not necessarily. It could be. I say it's going to be over because she's been more or less off the grid. That's no disrespect to her, but she's not in the top 100 of singers touring right now. This is her hometown, global audience, a chance for her to cement herself in Super Bowl lore. I think she's going to go crazy with this song. I think it's going to last over 2 minutes, but that's just me.
It could be her longest national anthem ever.
Right. Who was it? Was Alicia Keys, right? Had the longest ever?
Yeah. That was it over 4 minutes or just about 4 minutes?
Oh,
it was
no,
something
no.
crazy. No, I've been trying to find the number exactly, but it was something kind of crazy long. A lot of people thought that Pink was going to go long, and the betting was that she would go over 2 minutes, but she ended up going under 2 minutes.
So you lost money.
And I actually have gotten the last 7 anthems correct in terms of whether they'll go over or under, so I'm hoping to extend it to 8. But I wanted to just put that out there that Gladys Knight is on record, at least that I could find. She did a wonderful job and turned in the song in 92 seconds. So she can do it wonderfully, hold the note brave for a considerable period of time, and still come in under a minute 45. But
I'm
so
never
don't bet
watch
the house
the
on this. Don't bet that means don't bet the house on this.
I guess here's what you need to know. Not okay to kneel, but okay to bet. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm sorry, we're having a discussion about something we shouldn't be talking about just yet. We'll talk about it some other time. But we are going to wrap up with Ken Jakubowski, who is talking about the over-under for how long it will take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem for this Super Bowl Sunday's performance. Now, Ken, you're going with she's going to go over a minute 45.
Yeah, I'm going over a minute 45.
I think she's going to go over 2 minutes, but I know that's not. You only have to go over the one number.
All you have to go over, Patty, is 1 second, and you win.
Over one. So, what do you think, Valerie? Would you think she's going to go over 145?
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I mean, hey, listen, he's the expert. I'm going for your number 8 strike here.
What do you think, Scott?
Wow, I'm going to swim against the current here and say one and under. I'll take
under?
The under. Yeah,
all right.
Because everyone else is going to go over, right?
Just a gentleman's bet between them. I won't make you wax anything if you lose, I promise.
Because yeah, we've done this.
You do some streaking fests.
Yeah.
She beat me every time on our political discussions during Trump. I said, he's done, it's over, he's not. And Patty said, no, that's not true. And so I finally got to the point where I had to be waxed in front of people on Michigan
well,
Avenue.
Sure. Your significant other didn't
mind.
Hate it.
Yeah,
she didn't hate it. She didn't care.
Well,
which really ticked me off.
Now, Ken, if people do, I mean, do you have any suggestions for if people want to make these kinds of bets, or is that something that we should?
Well, you know, you can bet on virtually everything. Anything you could possibly imagine, you can bet on. Personally, I do the national anthem, then I bet on the game, and I'm betting on the New England Patriots to win.
Oh, that's right. That I probably should have asked that part too.
Yeah,
wait, there's a game.
Wait a minute. There's other things happening.
But hey, Patty, can I interrupt this discussion for a second? As you know, I'm in Michigan, and there is an emergency in the state of Michigan tonight. It came across everybody's cell phones about an hour ago. There's been an explosion at Consumer Energy's largest gas facility. It accounts for 64% of the state's gas supply. They're asking everybody to turn their thermostats down to 65 or lower in the entire state.
Oh,
wow.
Seriously.
All right.
This is a major emergency.
I'll put my Nest right now.
Well, this is for Michigan.
Not Illinois. This is for Michigan, and we are heard in Michigan. It's one of the 38 states we're heard in. We are in Michigan.
Well, thank you so much for updating, folks, and I appreciate that, Ken. And you be well. I hope you're taking care of yourself and get some rest, okay?
All right, go Patriots and go Gladys. Sing, sing, sing.
There you go. Have a good night, Ken.
Good night, everybody.
That's scary to think about. Well, we've got to run to the news, Scott. I know you're taking leave of us. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
And please be careful. I'll watch as you walk home.
Thank you.
Because I'm a little bit nervous for you, but be careful. And Valerie, you're welcome to stay if you want to hang out with Dr. Dingman, who's coming up next. Several years ago, I received an email from somebody who said, you know, you've really got to check out this guy, Dr. Lars Dingman. He is an iTunes psychic, and he quickly became a regular on my show, and it's been my honor to share him with you. I know some people are skeptical, and some people aren't quite sure of his methods. Joining us on the line is the world-renowned iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman, who has an appearance coming up in the Chicagoland area. We'll both be performing at the, well, not performing, I'll be performing, he'll be doing readings at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora on Valentine's Day. Hello, Dr. Dingman. How are you doing tonight?
I'm guessing warmer than you, Patty.
Okay.
I could be at the South Pole and it would be warmer than where you are right now.
Yes.
Yes,
Siberia.
45 below zero?
Yes. Yes, it should be warmer by the time you get here on Valentine's Day. I can't make promises.
Wait. you don't want a freezing cold Valentine's Day. That throws all kinds of monkey wrenches into people's plans, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, we don't want any cold. This is unspeakably cold, and I feel like we've covered a lot of aspects of it, and I want to warm people up by offering them a reading by you on the air, and I'm always grateful that you offer that service to our listeners. You're very kind to do that.
Well, you know, it's a gift that was given to me, and the way you give that gift back is you share it with other people. I delight in telling people about their past lives or about their future, about their past, and it helps people, and that helps me.
312-981-7200 for anyone who would like to have a reading done. We have Dr. Lars Dingman on the line. You can go to itunespsychic.com to find out more about the work that he does. And I was telling our guest, Valerie Landis, who was here a little bit ago to talk about fertility and some of the work that she does. And I asked her to stay, one, because she's come out in such cold weather. I felt bad, like, sending her out again so quickly. So I asked her to stay, and then I thought, well, this would be great. She's never heard of you, and I thought this would be a great way to sort of introduce not only her, but some of our listeners who maybe haven't heard you before. So 312-981-7200 for anyone who would like to have a reading done. You do have to call in. I know some people would like to text, but I asked Valerie if she could remember the last three songs she heard randomly. Explain to Valerie why that's the way you do these readings.
Well, Valerie, if you know anything, you are a doctor, yes?
I work in the medical industry.
Okay, so you understand science and obviously things like that. Right. I come from a scientific background. I was an audio engineer at a Bell Labs type facility. And if you know anything about string theory or hyperdimensional physics or all the things that physicists have been discovering and talking about over the past decade, there's a understanding and a belief in the scientific community that the universe is comprised of only energy. You know, mass is basically frozen energy, and the energy is a vibration. Light is a vibration. Sound is a vibration. And because of this, and because of some copies of Nikola Tesla's journals that were leaked to me from the FBI about a decade ago, I've come up with a way to tap into what the universe is telling people. The universe is an alive, sensate intelligence, and it's always trying to help individuals. So by understanding the last three songs that you randomly heard, these song titles are the way that the universe communicates with people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just hope you don't judge the last three songs I heard.
I judge nothing.
Okay.
That's the beauty. The universe doesn't judge. I don't judge. Judgment is it's like fear. It's a wasted energy.
Well, music is a very personal choice, too, so I was just curious. Are you ready for
these are not songs that you chose to listen to.
No.
These are random.
Yeah, they're very random. Like, yeah, I use all the different, like, you know,
providers. And,
yeah, music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, yeah. So.
Perfect. Okay. What were the last three songs that you randomly heard?
Okay. Sinatra, Fly With Me.
Okay.
Boundary Run, Make It Out. And Haisley, Without Me.
Making out like kissing?
Make It Out?
Make It Out is the title. Yes. Yeah, I had to look it up.
Okay, Make It Out, Come Fly With Me, and the third one?
Without Me.
Without Me. Okay. Let's see. Come Fly With Me, Make It Out, and Without Me. It sounds like there's some relationship turmoil in your life. True or false?
Lack thereof? I would say more.
That's the turmoil.
Yeah, okay.
Right? There's Without Me. You are you're like a battery with one pole. Come Fly With Me. You're looking for someone to take a flyer on your life, to be with you, to make it out. Right?
Sure.
If you're on a foggy day and you're looking towards the future, trying to see what's coming, you can't see it. You can't make it out. And this lack of clarity in your personal life is becoming increasingly distressing to you, and it's weighing on your mind. True or false?
Very true. That's why I had to freeze my eggs.
Okay. All right. Are you familiar with Charles Lindbergh?
Are you familiar with Charles Lindbergh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like the Dr. Dingman translator sometimes.
Yeah.
He was the first, for people that don't know, in 1927, he was the first person to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And this is at a time when, you know, airplanes were small and they were not powerful, and it was just not done. No one knew who he was before that. He was literally delivering mail, right, before this. After he flew by himself, after he come fly with himself, the whole world knew who he was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I think what this reading is saying, without me, come fly with me, make it out. You are the underlying assumption in your mind, I believe the universe is saying, and again, this is not me, this is what happens is I hear these song titles, and then I see movies or pictures or images in my mind, and then I tell them to you, and then they should make sense to you, even if they don't make sense to me. And what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing the Grand Canyon, and I'm seeing you standing on the lip of the Grand Canyon, terrified of jumping into it, right?
As you should be. Which,
yeah,
you should never jump into it.
I don't know that anyone loves heights, but
right.
Sure.
That is a good concern, a good fear. Metaphorically, you're on the sidelines of your own life. You're waiting for someone to come along and take you flying with them. Someone to not rescue you, but pull you along into their reality, when in reality, you have your own valence. You have your own reality that is wonderful and substantial and is enough. And once you, the paradox is, once you realize that what you have, you personally, just as you are, is enough, you'll attract like bees to honey, like bears to honey. Bees, they could give a crap about honey. Bears, they love it.
I've always wondered about that saying, because
yeah.
Bees make the honey. Why would they want to go to the honey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
And, you know, honey is bee boss.
Right.
So, I mean, if you really break it down, it's a disgusting thing, but the bears love it. Is this landing with you at all?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of women in their 30s could identify with this. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's not rocket science. I think what's happening here is the universe is reaching out to you via these songs and via the happenstance that you happen to be in the studio today when I'm on the show.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? You were the prize. Stop looking for a prize.
All right. I'll turn off all the apps.
No, you don't have to do that. I'm not saying stop the search. I'm saying reorient what you think the prize is.
Oh, okay.
That's a way to put
all right.
It.
All yeah. Right. Okay. So just kind of have
you
like
what I'm saying?
Yeah. So like have a reassessment.
Not even. That's even too fancy of a word. You're the prize.
Okay.
You got the prize already.
Oh.
Don't look for a prize. Don't. You're not looking for someone. You're not looking for Frank Sinatra to swoop in and take you away on a TWA airplane and do unspeakable things to you in the penthouse at the Sands Hotel. You are the party.
All right.
There you go.
Well, come to my party.
Keep the invitations
flowing. Exactly. And once you truly feel that, once your vibration changes and you believe that, as opposed to just showing that you believe that, that vibrational change in your being will literally attract the right people to you, romantically and business-wise. People say, oh, that person has it. That person has confidence. I'd like to be around. There's something about people that are comfortable in their own skin and aren't looking for anything or anyone to complete them that makes them very attractive.
Makes sense. And I think that lands for a lot of people. Dr. Dingman, we have to take a break here. We've got Jody on the line to have a reading done after this break. So I hope you can hang out with us. Wonderful. Oh, I'm glad that you think it's wonderful, because I do too. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Dr. Lars Dingman is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. You can find out more about him on his website, itunespsychic.com. He'll be live at the Comedy Shrine on Valentine's Day right here in the Chicagoland area. It's in Aurora. And he's on the line with us now doing readings for our listeners. He just did a reading for our guest, Valerie Landis, who is the founder of Eggology and Experience. You can go to eggsperience.com for more information. And Dr. Dingman, we have listeners that have been calling in, and Jody was a first one that got through, so we wanted to give her an opportunity to have a reading done. Hi, Jody. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, good. How are you guys?
Very well. So glad you're calling tonight, and hope that you're warm wherever you are. And Dr. Dingman is on the line to do your reading. Take it away, Doctor.
Great.
Hello, Jody. Thanks for calling in. What are the last three songs that you randomly heard?
Well, here's the thing. I don't really listen to music. I listen to podcasts and WGN, so I can't even tell you.
Huh. I almost wish that we could, you know what? Tom might be able to tell you what the last three bump songs were, and those would be songs that she heard randomly.
Those would be it, yeah.
Tom,
those would be it.
Tom, you don't have, go ahead.
You can't recall any music that you've heard randomly recently.
Yeah, I heard Thriller recently by Michael Jackson.
And then what was that last song? What was that last song there, Tom, that she has heard in the bump?
That was The Twilight Zone by Golden Earring.
Right. What was the name of the Michael Jackson song?
Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding it hard to understand you. What did you
Thriller.
Say?
Thriller. Oh, Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Oh, Thriller. Thriller. All right, so we got Thriller and Twilight Zone. Huh.
It
okay.
Sounds ominous.
It does sound ominous, doesn't it, Jody? Ironically, both Thriller and the Twilight Zone film, directed by the same Hollywood person, John Landis, who also directed Animal House.
Huh. Oh.
Yeah. A little trivia for you there. are you more interested in a personal reading, Jody, or a professional business reading?
Let's do professional.
Okay. All right. You work, you're currently employed, yes?
I am.
Yeah. And you've been at this place, I'm seeing, a long time. This is not a new job. This is someplace you've been for an extended period of years.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you're bored out of your gourd.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing. The Twilight Zone, it's like you're a zombie. You go,
yeah.
You do things that you could do in your sleep, and you go home, and you do it to live for your paycheck week after week, but you are bored out of your mind. You could care less about what you're doing at work. True or false?
I wouldn't say I care less, but, you know, it has become a little robotic, yes.
Yeah, and you want something more challenging and more rewarding. Which would
I do.
Yeah, you don't have to be a psychic to know that. So what do you want?
I don't know. I don't know.
You want, sure, you want a thriller. You see?
Hmm.
Thriller.
Yeah.
You want to be thrilled with what you do every day. And that is a basic human desire that 90% of the people on the planet don't honor. Right? Right? They get a job, they get money, and they work. Boom! A bell goes off. They're 75 years old, and they've run through their whole life without joy.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that is the Twilight Zone that you find yourself caught in right now. You're caught in this zone where you are comfortably numb, and you are for financial reasons, unable to just walk away and say, take this job and shove it and try something else. So you're caught doing something you don't particularly want to do. True or false?
True.
Okay. So then what the universe is saying with these two songs that maybe you heard, maybe you didn't, we're not really sure, but they came up anyway. You got to make a choice, Jody. What do you want your life to be? As far as we know, this is not a dress rehearsal. You know, you get one life in this current incarnation. I happen to know that after the body dies, we come back time and time again in different forms and different permutations of our basic personalities. And it's like school. Earth is like a school. And you keep coming here until you don't have to go to school anymore. And this is a major life lesson for you here.
Okay.
So you have to decide what's more valuable, the security of this job that numbs your brain, or the possibility of going out to find something that you would wake up in the morning and be thrilled to go and do. I'm sure, Patty, you most times, Patty, not every day, but most times you're excited to come to work because your job is so interesting and unique every day, right?
Absolutely, and I have moments like this that nobody else gets to have.
Right. I think that's a natural human need, Jody, and you have to ask yourself, is it something that you're willing to fight for? Is it something that you're willing to take a risk and go find? I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying put some effort in your spare time into finding something better to do. Mm-hmm. Have you been considering that?
I am. I'm back at school, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, then that's why you call. This is the universe saying, go for the thrill, not for the Twilight Zone. Follow your gut. As Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. Go find something that makes you happy. And then every day at work will feel like a vacation. You just need to change your vibration. You want to do an exercise with me right here on the air, Jody?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Where are you right now? Are you home? Are you in your car? Where are you?
I'm at home.
Okay. I want you to stand up.
Okay.
And, okay. And then I want you to make this noise. What we're doing is we're going to change your personal vibration. And we're going to raise your vibration to give you the clarity and the intestinal fortitude, the guts, the gumption, to actually act on this impulse tomorrow. Use your lunch time tomorrow to go out and find a better job or start looking at least, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I want you to stand up and scream at the top of your lungs the word me, M-E, 10 times in a row as if you are, you know, they say if you're in the woods, you ever been in the woods and encountered a voracious grizzly bear?
I can't say that I have done that, but I know what you're saying.
It's a good thing that you have it. But what the experts say is if you ever are in that situation, you don't run. You make yourself look as big as you possibly can, and you start screaming at it to frighten the bear. So what you have to do is you have to fill yourself with the belief that your life is worth more than what it's worth right now. You got to believe that your time is more valuable than just whizzing it away at a job that you hate. So I want you to stand in front of a mirror and scream the word me as loud as you can 10 times in a row. Ready? Go.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
That was outstanding, Jody.
Thank you very much.
Are you smiling right now, Jody?
I am.
Okay. You know what that is? That's the beginning of this vibrational change. Of course, it's silly, and it feels weird, and you would hate to have someone see you do this. But what you're doing is you're infusing yourself with energy and positivity, and that will raise, much like we were talking with the caller before. Not the caller, but the guest before. You have to believe that your life is sacred, and that every minute of your life, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow, you don't know. Every moment of your life, well, the buses will be frozen tomorrow, but, you know, when things thaw out, You have to believe that every minute of your life is worth savoring, like a fine steak or a delicious ice cream cone on a hot summer day.
And that's a nice thought today.
Right? Let me hear you do the me thing again, because it delights me.
Okay, you ready?
Me, 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 me.
Yes!
Fantastic!
Yes,
you
yes,
do that
yes,
every
yes.
morning. You do it every morning when you wake up, first thing. And within 2 weeks, a new business opportunity will come across your path. And I suggest, if it does, have the courage to follow up on it. Don't quit your job, but follow up on it and explore it.
Let us know, right. Jody. Jody, you got to follow
thank
up with
you.
Us. Oh, Jody, good luck. And thank you so much for calling tonight. We've got to take a break. We're going to go to the news, and we'll continue with Dr. Dingman in just a moment on 720 WGN. That was so cool. Ooh, I know this one. This is Superstitious. And for those of you who are regular listeners of the Patty Vasquez Show, you know that I have a segment called literally Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge.
Oh, I hate to break your heart then.
Yes.
It's not superstitious. It's superstition.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Come on.
See, there you go. Dr. Dingman, you have in the past tried to do a reading for me to sad results because I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. I never know the names of the songs I've randomly heard, which is why.
Don't feel bad. I can't remember names either. I just know the song when I hear it.
Yeah, and even then, I just know that I like music. So, Dr. Dingman, you can vouch for the fact that it's very hard to do a reading for me.
Yeah, it is, Patty. That's okay. You don't really have to understand or really have a deep musical knowledge because the key thing to understand is that throughout human history, people have always had a god or gods, right? Every culture, every country has a different word for an intelligent being, God, Vishnu, whatever, Buddha, whatever it happens to be. In fact, in reality, and I know this because of psychic visions that I've had and experiences, the universe is alive and is intelligent, and all it wants is for think of the universe like a tree, and every human being, every living being is like a leaf on that tree. In the Bible, you know, it says, do unto others as you would have to do unto you. We're all connected. And because of that, it's a two-way communication. The universe communicates with us. We communicate back. The problem is people are so focused on their electronic toys that they're not aware of what's going on around them. They don't hear. They don't see things that, to me, are very obvious. And this way of interpreting, I'm like the universe whisperer, Patty. I hear these song titles that people hear. It's the universe's way of waving a flag saying, hey, pay attention, right? Jody is working every day at a job she hates. Now, I understand there's financial pressures and things, but you know what? When you're lying on your deathbed, what are you going to remember? The extra $4 you made an hour or the fantastic life you had? You have to strive, in my opinion, to lead the most fantastic, exciting life possible for you. And that's really what the universe wants for you, too. And I love that she is actively going to try and change her life. That's the whole key. That's why I come on your show. That's why I enjoy being on the radio.
Well, I know that producer Tom Hush was interested in having a reading done, and this is his first time having this experience with you. By the way, we're talking to the iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman. You can go to iTunespsychic.com to find out more. Tom has his three songs ready to go, Dr. Dingman.
All right, what you got, Tom?
All right, so these are the last three songs that came up on when I was listening to Shuffle on iTunes. So I've got Teenage Riot by Sonic Youth, Jigsaw Falling Into Place by Radiohead, and You Think I Ain't Worth a Dollar, But I Feel Like a Millionaire by Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay. Teenage Riot. What was the middle one?
Jigsaw Falling Into Place.
Teenage Riot, Jigsaw Falling Into Place. You think I'm not worth a dollar, but I'm really a millionaire. Those are three great song titles, Tom. It sounds to me like you're starting something new. You're breaking out of a jigsaw. Like, you ever work on a jigsaw puzzle, you get to the very end, and there's, like, two pieces missing?
Sure, yeah.
And it drives you crazy? I feel like in the last 2 years of your life, you've felt that way. Frustrated and a little, not cheated, but just frustrated with the cards you're getting and life in general. True or false?
That's pretty true. I'd say that's fairly true.
And I think right now, the pieces are finally falling together for you. I see that you're on the verge of some kind of new experience, some new opportunity. Is there something new in your life, either personally or professionally, that has you excited?
Yes, I'd say so. There's the possibility of opportunities that I see.
And are we talking romantic or business?
Business, strictly business.
Would you prefer to talk about business or romance?
Oh, I'm all business, Dr. Dingman.
Okay. All right. I understand. Well, yeah. And that's what, because I'm seeing some romantic stuff, too, but you don't want to talk about it on the radio. I understand. I'm seeing you're at ever go to Chinatown? Doesn't matter what the city, like a Chinatown.
Yeah, I was in Chinatown not that long ago.
Yeah, I'm seeing you standing underneath the big gate. You know, whatever the word for it is. It's like a gate, a big thing.
I see it.
A portal. You're standing there, and there's unlimited opportunity in front of you. And you've been facing the wrong way. You've been facing backwards the last couple of years. And you're just psychically, metaphorically, turning around and facing forward, and you're excited to see that there is a vista opening up in front of you. And unlike a lot of other people, I don't sense fear in you. I sense anticipation and excitement. True or false?
I'd say true. That's astute.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that you're not so many people that we do readings for, or that I meet when I'm doing club dates, like the one we're going to do on Valentine's Day, afraid. They're afraid of the future. They're afraid of failing. They're afraid of, well, you know, fill in the blank. And I got to tell you, fear is the most wasted emotion in the world. It's like pulling your pants halfway down and trying to run a race. Not only do you look stupid, but you're going to lose.
That seems accurate.
Right? I don't see that with you. I see someone who is bordering on fearless and excited that there's a new day dawning for you.
I like to keep my pants up, Dr. Dingman. That's the type of person I am.
Well, yeah, I told you. You didn't want the romantic reading. That's with the riot. I see that you're about to go on a riotous ride professionally that is going to open up new vistas for you, and you're not afraid. You know, someone's shoving an apple in your face, and you're taking a big bite of it, and that's fantastic. More people should have that kind of faith in themselves and openness to take whatever the world's going to throw at them. Because whether you're open or not, the world's throwing crap at you every day. And you got to be able to dodge the bigger pieces and make the smaller pieces into something palatable. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I understand.
Do you have a specific issue you'd like to ask me about? Because I'm getting a lot of information on you. I understand because you're at WGN, you're on the radio, you probably don't want to share perhaps some personal details about yourself. But I'm seeing some big potential coming your way. If you have a specific question, I might be able to answer it for you.
Maybe. So I will say, here at WGN, I do a podcast. It's called No Coast Cinema, and it covers the local film community and all that kind of stuff. And I guess I just want to know how to make it bigger, how to move forward with it, how to make it my dream job.
Mm-hmm. You getting paid to do it right now?
No, I'm not. Totally pro bono.
Okay, so in some sense, it's already a dream job for you, right? You're being given the opportunity,
no, I hear that,
and you're
yeah.
doing. You're not getting rich, but you're doing something that you love.
That's right? True. Yeah,
In many ways, you're the opposite. You're in the opposite position that Jody, our previous caller, was in. She's in a job that she hates. She's getting paid for it, but she detests it. Right.
Right. Right.
And I feel that what you're doing both here on the actual AM radio and in this podcast, is the beginning steps to something that will be fruitful and, more importantly, nourishing for your soul and for your psyche and for your whole life. And whether or not you're getting rich from it right now, you know, I guess rich depends on how you define it. You know, in A Wonderful Life, George Bailey was not a wealthy man in dollars and cents, but in the ending scene where everyone in town comes running into his house to save his ass because he's in trouble, that shows you, you know, no man is poor who has friends. And I'm seeing tremendous potential with you, Tom. And I think you're doing all the right things. And I think just keep doing them. You think I'm a dollar, you know, you think I'm worth a dollar, but I'm really a millionaire. That's potential, right? That's everything.
It's
everything about success except actually having it. You're on the right road. And I think you've got the missing piece of that jigsaw puzzle. You just have to keep playing the game. That's all. I think it's a very positive reading.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm feeling good.
You're welcome. Just keep it up.
Wonderful. And maybe Tom can head out to Aurora with us the night that we do the show at the Comedy Shrine on Valentine's Day, because I think there's a Blackhawks game that night, so we'll have to see.
That's going to be fun, Patty. I think what we'll do is, in addition to doing regular readings, I'm assuming there'll be a lot of couples in the audience. There'll probably be some single people, too. I'm going to see. I'm not really a matchmaker, but I'm going to see if I can take two strangers out of the audience and find a couple that actually likes each other.
Interesting. Ooh, I like. It's kind of raising the stakes for the evening too.
Yeah, it's like psychic.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day. You got to do something extra special, right?
Yeah, a little bit of a challenge. I love it. Well, Dr. Dingman, I look forward to it, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday night. And we're going to have you in studio on February 13th. By the way, for everybody who wants to know, you'll be able to listen to the show that evening. Yay!
Yes, it's practically the Ides of February.
Practically. By the way, our listener from the 715, Rod, you'll have to call in next week because we've got to let Dr. Dingman go right now. You can check out his website, itunespsychic.com. You'll also find the link to our show coming up at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora on Valentine's Day. Be safe, be well, and thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Dingman.
Thanks very much, Patty. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Yay.
Bye-bye.
After this momentary break, we're going to wrap it up with Tell Me Something Good, and then we'll turn the station over to Nick D. 773. Wait, that's not the right number. 312-981. I almost gave my own number away. 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200. Give us a call and tell us something good before we turn the lights off in the studio.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
That's right. Sometimes we collect a bunch of stories that we intend to talk about during the show, and we just run out of time, or we end up having great conversations like our guest Valerie Landis and some wonderful readings by our iTunes psychic Dr. Dingman. So here are some of the stories that we didn't get to. By the way, if you're not aware, Lyft is offering free rides to Chicago's warming centers. You can visit. You can go. There's a list of warming centers throughout the area, including Chicago Park District departments. You can get a code. There's a code. It's ShyJayden19, ShyJayden19. And these relief rides are good for up to two rides and will be valid through Friday night at 11:59 p.m. Now it has to be someplace that you're going to a warming station. So many of those, and you know, it's just something where if you find yourself trapped. You can't get somewhere. Maybe your apartment isn't warm. A lot of people are having trouble keeping their houses warm. So if you need to get to a warming station, you can get a relief ride from Lyft. And there are a list of prepare. Just be aware of where the warming centers are, and you can do that. By the way, did anyone order carryout over the last 24 hours?
No, I felt bad. I didn't want to.
Yeah,
and that's what this article says. Is it ever too cold for delivery pizza? Chicago is about to find out, and a lot of people refused to order because they didn't want to encourage a lot of the businesses to sort of abuse their employees. So they felt that it wasn't very kind. Although I felt like if the business is open, then I also would be helping. I didn't order any delivery, but I did stop at Superdog because I felt like if they're there, it's not. It can't be the warmest place, even though they're cooking. I drove by; they were open. I thought, well, you know, if they're open, this it, better to stay busy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's always a tough situation. Like, what do you do? Do you close and then people are mad because you're closed
right.
as a business, or do you stay open?
I don't think anybody was mad for anyone that closed today.
No.
was really dead and kind of like quiet.
It was so wild to drive. I had to go take my Mac to the Apt Electronics store out in Glenview. And thank you so much to our friends Billy out there and Steve Shapiro and the guys behind the desk. My keyboard is fried. I know. Declan was. I was watching Declan and he was having a little. He was struggling with his swing. In our basement, and I went to go make sure he was okay, and I had a glass of water in one hand and my laptop in the other. Fingers crossed. So thank you to our friends out at Apt Electronics for quickly opening it up and showing me where my problem was. And I was like, yep, that's what I figured.
It does make you wonder, like, if this happened 100 years ago, what, like, if, no, seriously.
The cold
like,
snap?
Yeah, cold snap happens 100 years ago. What does Chicago do?
That's exactly what my husband was saying. He was like, I can't believe that people imagine just living in a log cabin or whatever materials they used to make it out of. I used to read The Little House on the Prairie. And, like, they had to, if you're not familiar, but Pa Ingalls had to tie a rope from the house to the barn in blizzard conditions in case he, like, lost his way in between the two structures.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because you could just wander off into the field and die in a blizzard.
I guess you just have to talk to each other.
Oh, God. Nope.
Funny that you say that because Chicago weather, it's so cold that you shouldn't talk much or breathe. So that's a warning from the National Weather Service as potentially record-breaking cold. Obviously, we are breaking records. At least it was the second coldest day. I don't know if we made it to the coldest day. Dress in your usual, you must wear layers. Cover your mouth warnings, by the way, to protect your lungs from severely cold air and avoid taking deep breaths. Avoid taking deep breaths and minimize talking outside.
I already do that, so that's good for me.
I just feel bad for the homeless. I wonder where they go.
We actually reached out to our friends at the Chicago Tribune. It was Heather Leone and Armando Sanchez who were out on Tuesday night and Wednesday night talking to the folks from the Salvation Army. They were there were a lot of people who did not want to come in off the streets. The Salvation Army was out there with blankets and extra clothing and food. Oh, did you hear this story? Yeah, and hand warmers. And the story about somebody who paid for 70 people to stay in a hotel.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So a lot of people doing great work out there.
An everyday street Samaritan.
Yeah. I know. I was like, that's what I would do with money if I had it.
Yeah,
me
it,
too.
It's a good way to do it because obviously within the homeless community, as it were, there's a lot of distrust of authority.
Yeah.
Because there's just been too many incidences of people abusing homeless folks out there. So if you can go out to them and meet them where they're at and just bring them what you can, I think that's one of the best ways, short of convincing them, like, please come with me.
I volunteer for a charity called Street Samaritans, and that's what we do every month.
That's a great idea. Great. And I know that people can call 311 if they see somebody that they feel needs to go to a warming center, but a lot of folks, they refuse. They don't want to go. By the way, from the 312, I've delivered pizza in negative 10 degree temperatures. Don't pity us. Order your food.
Wow.
Okay, now.
Just tip well.
Tip well.
If you're going to do it, tip
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to go 30%.
I think I'm going to order something than pizza.
Other than people, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Order it. We've got, by the way, we've got more stories. More than 36,000 pounds of Tyson chicken nuggets have been recalled because they may contain, wait for it, rubber.
Oh, no.
But I thought that was rubber chicken? I already thought it was.
Yeah.
That's not chicken. No, that's a rubber chicken. Did they get that from the set of the Svengoolie show?
Oh yeah,
yeah. They got
Svengoolie, what are you doing, man? You got to watch out with your with that rubber chicken.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. By the way, this was something we didn't get a chance to talk about. We did talk to Dr. Kathy Tynes about vaccinations last week. Patients in the Northwest have measles outbreaking. They traveled to Hawaii.
Right?
Some people traveled to Hawaii not knowing that they might be transmitting measles.
Oh, wow.
By the way, so many. There were 34 last I heard. 30 of the measles patients are children who were not vaccinated.
Yep.
I can't believe we're talking about this in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we thought we took care of this. And the thing is that I'm really scared that what happens if a strain, now smallpox, very small chance of that ever getting back out there, but just what if? The what if scenario is too scary.
Well, there was a mom who posted on Facebook that her daughter is under 3 years old, and she's like, and there's an outbreak in our area. How can I protect my daughter? Get her vaccinated! From the 816, it was so cold in Kansas City this morning, or KC, when I woke up, I could hear my wife's teeth chattering, and they were still in the glass. Thanks, Doc. Let me take a quick break, and we'll turn it over to Nick D in just a moment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I have to clear my throat from thanks for the laugh, Doc. It is time now to turn the station over to Nick D. We'll be back. I'm taking off Thursday, Friday. I'm taking off for Indianapolis. Tom, you're producing with Carm and Jerry Nunn on Friday night.
Correctamundo.